Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways that running enriches our lives. I'm your host, Pam, and I've completed half marathons in 31 states and have run 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. In seasons 1 through 3, we've traveled the globe discussing races near and far. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to go back and check out previous episodes to hear more about some terrific races, such as the Honolulu Marathon with Luz, the Disney Marathon with Laura, and traveling with Judy as she completed marathons in all 50 states. Here in New England, winter is, unfortunately, not far off. Check out Diane's episode about her love of snowshoe racing. And yes, in case you might be wondering, Paul and Gabriel from Season 2 are still running. Yes, at least 1 mile every single day. And last I checked, they were at 1,200 miles, which is more than 3 years, and they just keep going. Kudos to all my guests. Today, we're excited to be launching Season 4 of the 50 States Finish Line podcast, bringing more great running content to our worldwide audience. Let's get started. In this first episode of Season 4, my guest brings me a bit full circle by giving me the chance to talk with someone who has been running for as long as I have known her. Healthy, fit, and very fun, my guest embodies all the best of the running community. Even though we've known each other for a long time, we haven't had a chance to sit together for an equally long time, so I can't wait to get started and to hear her story. Welcome, Liz. I am so delighted to host you and to hear about your running life. What can you tell our listeners about you as a runner?
Thanks, Pam, for having me. It was so nice to be invited to talk with you on your podcast. So my career as a runner, I guess, started in high school. I just went out for track. I wanted to stay fit and stay active. And so that's when it started. And then that's when my love of running started. And I've just been running ever since.
Did you grow up in New Hampshire? Did you grow up in another part of New England?
I grew up actually in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then landed here at UNH with you. And I never left. I love New England. And running in New England is amazing.
You know, that's so interesting because like you, right, I've never left either. So there's something very, it feels like home, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Being here. But take us back to those days of being in Pittsburgh. You know, I've been to Pittsburgh once. I can think of very hilly.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes.
So what was that like in high school training?
So high school, it was on the track. So I was flat and I did spring track and I oftentimes, after I graduated from high school, ran in the summer with a friend on the track. That was our evening after work meetup. And I was thinking about her and thinking about running too, and how some of my very closest friends to this day, she being one of my lifelong friends, is a friend through running.
And so what is that about running with someone that has helped to solidify that friendship? Because I can relate to that feeling as well. What is it for you?
I think just being with someone, doing something that you love and being out on the road and having the time to talk. And I actually now, my favorite run of the week is on Saturday mornings, and I get to run with Kathy O'Brien, and we have a couple routes that we go on every week, and we just say it's basically we get our run in, but it's our therapy session, and that is just, it means so much to have that connection with people. And to be out on a course or to be just out on the road with someone. And some of my other favorite runs are now with my girls. And they're both runners in different capacities. And just to get out and run with them and have an opportunity to connect and talk in a way, in a different sort of way, is just awesome.
That is so nice to hear. You know, a couple of things around that. I think when people think of running, they might be surprised that you have the breath to have a conversation.
Yes.
And For those listening who may not know who your running partner is, in my mind, I think of her as being a very fast runner. So tell us a little bit about that, about how you're able to both run and kind of have a meaningful conversation.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because when I ask other friends to run with me, they'll say, you're too fast for me. And I will always, my response is always, no, I'm not. I will run any place, anytime, any pace with a friend. And Kathy and I, we prioritize our talking. So, and every day we know as runners, every day feels different. Mm-hmm. So I think that we just start cruising and our conversation starts, and then based on the day and the elements and the weather and the time of year, just kind of dictates that pace. So we're less worried about any sort of speed or pace. We know the distance we're running and we just talk the whole time.
You know, it's funny. I haven't run with either of you, but I've seen you coming at me and you have big smiles on your faces.
Yep.
And you're chatting away. And I would say, maybe would you say that a part of being open on the road that way is you're not facing the person eye to eye, that you're kind of running like they're running alongside of you. And so maybe it feels less intimidating to have hard conversations or really emotional conversations without that you're physically close to the person, but they're not kind of staring you down,
right?
Let's say.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And, you know, parents have said in the past in conversations that some of the best conversations with your kids as they're growing up are in the car, because mm-hmm. you're driving and they're sitting in the passenger's seat or behind you facing the same way, not looking at you. And so I think there's definitely something to be said about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are there, you know, I'm going to stay to this idea around conversation and running, because I find it's really, really interesting to me around when you have had a long run and you're kind of muddling through something. Is there a way that your running partner approaches that you find really helpful? Or, you know, take us through, like, you're having a conversation. Do you and your partner have some ground rules around that? Or you just know there are certain topics that you don't touch on with someone like Kathy or anyone else that you're running with? And how do you feel at the end of a run when you've had a conversation? Like, have you come to a new place with an understanding?
Yeah, I think that, I guess the first part is that pretty much any conversational topic is kind of open. And then on the other hand, depending on how I'm feeling, sometimes I'll say to her at the beginning of the run, you start talking, until I kind of catch my breath in that first half mile. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there are days that I will, mostly it's me telling her to chat and I'll just listen. And mm-hmm. As we're running up a hill, I'll just listen. Or so just to have that, yeah, I mean, it, with a close friend, that kind of that honesty, or just to say, oh, I'm not feeling it today, or some of the heat, like this one, we had a hot run this summer and it was just hot. I said, I'm not feeling great, but we just slow it down and keep it going. So.
Mm-hmm. And then you were mentioning that your daughters run with you. And I will say, right, one of my children run. I could never run with him. His pace is like twice as fast. So I find that such a gift. But what is that like, running with your children?
I love it. Katie is one who will appease me and kind of stick with me. If, depending on the situation, she ran the Wallace Sands half marathon with me most of the way. And then that last, I think after we reached that 10-mile mark, she was looking around, seeing who was around her. I said, go ahead, just go. And then Abby was more of a, Katie's, you know, ran cross country and has always been a runner. And Abby, it was more of a team athlete. So she likes to run with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually are running in September her first half marathon together.
Oh, congratulations.
So she doesn't have as much of that kind of desire to push ahead, but she still is an athlete, so it's natural for her. But we have a nice pace and a nice time, you know, nice running pace together.
Oh, that's very sweet. So. That's very sweet. You know, before we got online or on air, you had mentioned you kind of enjoy running all different distances. And knowing that you started on the track in high school, take us through that evolution. Was that kind of coming to different paces gradually, or, you know, you and I knew each other in college. So did you start new distances in college or after college? Take us back to that.
Yes, at college, actually. In high school, it was just the track. And I think even those summer evenings with my high school friend, it was just 2 miles on the track. Mm-hmm. And then we were done. And of course, when we get to UNH, one of the things that I love about running is running in places that are brand new. And you get to know the area, you get to know places that maybe you wouldn't go if you were either driving or not running. And so, of course, Roselawn Farm, and then the homecoming loop. I think I was impressed with myself because I think I did a 10K, a six miler, and that was the longest at UNH that mm-hmm. I had run. And so since then, I think I can get to any distance as long as I just have a good mindset and I just know the pacing's good and I just know what's in my mind or what I'd like to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. It also strikes me you stay really true to yourself. I think some runners, I'll put myself in this camp, you get kind of swept up in the mania of doing half marathons, right? Or in the mania of doing a marathon. But you have really stayed true to yourself in keeping an open mind to lots of different distances and lots of different events. So share with us a little bit about that. Is that a result of, it's a way of keeping you healthy? Is it a result of having a very busy life and need to manage running and amongst other things?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think some of the shorter distances and shorter races when my girls were younger, when you only have 20 minutes out the door, you grab your shoes and you go out, and probably I was running faster then because I had to run faster. And then I think that some of the longer races that do take a little bit more time and training with teaching during the day and then having younger children or activities as they get older, you just have to find those blocks of time. So I think that that's evolved over time. In my 30s, I think it was, mid-30s, my sister-in-law had completed the Danskin triathlon. And so she said, come on, Liz, you can come do this with me. And I was a swimmer when I was young, but I hadn't been swimming for a while. And I got back in the water and I loved it. And I had a mountain bike, and then I borrowed someone's road bike. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of evolved over time. And the sprint triathlons, again, are shorter distances that, you know, if I swim for 20 minutes or if I bike for 45 minutes and run for a half hour, I can piece those things together, but I can do them all at different times and mm-hmm. then put them together for a race. So I think the distances have changed just with times in my life, work schedules, kids' schedules. But I love that. And my husband Keith is an avid trail runner, and so when he's off at, you know, when he signs up for a trail run, and I look at the distances, and I said I'm going to be there anyway, so I'll run the 5K, I'll run the 10K, and so that has been awesome too. So I've enjoyed that equally.
It sounds like your willingness to be flexible has aided you in staying with the sport and staying active, not
yes.
being rigid about distance or when you're going to do running. It seems also, so in terms of, do you like triathlons? Because that seems like a natural evolution for many runners to go from running to kind of adding in other events. Do you still do triathlons? Is that an event you enjoy doing?
I do. I still do triathlons. I do think that the cross-training piece for me is huge. I want to take care of myself and make sure that I can stay active. So being able to swim and bike and run and do those when I kind of feel like it. Sometimes I do them because I feel like I have to, and then sometimes I just change it up. I don't feel like running one day, so I get on my bike. In the summertime, I love swimming outdoors. I head over to Mendham's Pond and swim around the island there, which is just such a peaceful place for me. And then the challenges of trail running, and I was able to do 2 mountain races this summer. I did the Loon Mountain race, which is, again, just a challenge. It's not necessarily running, more of a shuffle and a power hike, but it's all good. It feels great when you get to the top. And then there was a new race. We go to Maine every summer, and it was at Blue Hill Mountain in Blue Hill, and it was a brand new one. They were doing a 50K, a 10K, and a 5K. So we went over and did that, and again, it's just a challenge. So we were there, and Keith, who's been working through an injury, said, "We're here. Let's just go over. Why not? And do it." And I said, "Sure. Yep, absolutely. Let's do it." So it's kind of fun to put myself in those situations where, yeah, maybe I could have trained more, but it's, you know, the competition has kind of waned as I get older. Not so worried about that because mm-hmm. I'm, you know, competitive, and I it's more for myself, for my own personal accomplishment, but just to kind of let that go and just enjoy. I was saying that when I go to Loon, I tell people I'm not racing, I'm eventing. It's just an event, and I'm going to enjoy it and just see how it goes.
I love that philosophy. For individuals who haven't done a kind of mountainous course, I remember when Tom Hooper was here doing an episode, and I said, "Oh, that sounds like a good one." And he looked and he's like, "No, that wouldn't be one to start with." And I can't remember what the event was. So, you know, obviously, there's a different mindset that you're approaching those kind of mountain events,
yes.
but different apparel, different, I imagine, longer time on your feet. Those
right.
are some considerations.
Yes. Yep. Yep. I think it's just, you know, the distance for that one. It's in the six, some, I've done it three times, and I've started at three different points. So that's changed, but it's six plus miles to the top. And I think it's just like, I just am going to get to the finish. So, and I think on any race day, I kind of say to myself, I've trained for this, or I know what I'm getting myself into. And so on that day, I will do whatever it is based on how I'm feeling. So, and that can change day by day.
That's a great outlook. I think we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Welcome back to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Liz, how has running enriched your life?
I think my love of running is based on the fact that I can do it anywhere. And being able to get out in nature, outside, on the road, and exercise is something that any runner is able to do. And then the other thing is just really the people that you connect with, the people I can run with, the places where I've gone to do races. My family is, we're all exercisers and athletes, so running is something that is a connection in our family. It's just part of my life. I can't imagine not being able to do it. I know I've had a couple times where I've had to take a break, but I work to get back to the road somehow.
Growing up, I mean, I know you said you ran track, but was that also something that was important to your family growing up in Pittsburgh?
My family was an active family. I was one of five kids, and so we were involved in all kinds of sports. I think I was the middle child, and I tried every sport under the sun. So I think staying active was, my dad was a runner. He ran 5 miles pretty much every day until he couldn't. And so I came from a place like that, not necessarily a running family per se, but staying active and being athletic and being part of sports teams was important.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it feels good to having passed that along to your children.
Yes, yeah.
And seeing them out running. It's amazing how many on this podcast have children who are now runners. And being a part of a running community, which I think our town very much is also great to see the next generation out there taking up the passion. So that's exciting. I do like to ask our guests, since everybody's very knowledgeable around running and can share some great tips, do you have like favorite running shoes, whether it's on the trails or on the road, or a favorite tech gear that you carry with you when you're running on trails or on roads or doing a triathlon?
I was thinking about that. I tend to find a pair of running shoes and stick to it until they change the model, and then sometimes I have to shift around. I wear Brooks. They come in wide, which I love because it gives my worn feet some a little extra room and love. I also, otherwise, I think the gear just comes with the event. I was thinking about one thing that I always am wearing when I'm running is a visor. I just have a visor on and keeps my hair out of my face. But other than that, there isn't anything specific that I have some equipment that I always have.
Okay. Do you have a bucket event, something that you have yet to do that you'd like to do?
Well, I think I'd love to do Boston at some point, but I don't know what that would look like. So that might be in the future. Katie's living in Boston, and Abby hopes to head there soon. So maybe in the next couple of years.
Maybe have I your can own rope cheer
them,
squad.
Rope them into running, running it with me somehow.
I'm sure you could make it happen. And yes, having that very historic race in our backyard beckons a lot of runners.
Yes.
That is for sure. Is there something you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
I was thinking about that too. Depending on the race, I think sometimes the focus is on my breathing. Sometimes the focus is on my arms. Sometimes the focus is on my legs. But I would say at Loon, when I got to Upper Walking Boss, it was keep your head down and every step is one step closer to the top. And that stayed in my head the whole time till I got to that finish line.
I can picture that a little.
Yeah.
I can picture that a little bit, kind of doing everything you can to just focus on the next step.
That's right. And sometimes that's what running is. It's just one step forward. Just keep going till you make it from point A to point B.
How many people run that race? Do you know how many, I'm just curious if mountain running, you know, some of our road races attracts a lot of people. And I just wonder if mountain racing, the numbers are growing and if certain events attract a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a good question. At trail runs, we tend to see a lot, depending on which area, we tend to see a lot of the same runners mm-hmm. out on the trails. So, but I don't know how many ran that race this year or have in the past.
I'll have to do some research on that.
Yes.
And I'll put that in our show notes in case folks want to do it. But I would imagine being up in the mountains in the summer, this summer was very rainy.
Yeah.
So did that make it a little bit more difficult? Like, are there some considerations like that that you have to think about when you're out on a trail run like that?
Yeah, I think anytime I'm on a trail run, my goal is to not twist my ankle and hopefully not fall. So if I can cross the finish line with that, I've done pretty well. The mud definitely just slows me down a little bit. It was a little bit mucky and humid through the woods. The first part of it's through the woods. There were some slick sections on some of the grassy, steep parts. So it definitely changed the course a little bit, but I think that's what trail running is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Any sort of weather changes how the trail is. So I just am really cautious, and what I might run on the road is very different from what I might run on the trail. But I love just being consumed in the trails and focused on the trail. And sometimes I finish before I even notice.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, running the same distance that I might run on the road feels so different on the trails.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's just a reminder also that you can make running whatever you want. So in this example, you know, when I think of trail running, I think of it going off in the woods. And now adding this element of elevation gain is just another way to change it up. And we're very fortunate. We live in an area, like you were mentioning before, you might do Wallace Sands, which is a run right along the beach. You might have to factor in the wind. And here also within an hour's distance, you can be up in the mountains. So I also love, Liz, how you're just taking advantage of our location to do running in lots of different places. And that's helped, I think, obviously, to kind of keep it fresh for you and to keep you at it.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, so that's why I was curious, like any events you haven't tried, but it sounds like you've done a really great job of mixing it up at every, you know, at every turn.
Right. Yeah, there are always, there are so many amazing events around here. So I think it's just, usually it's when someone else is interested and just jump in and say, sure, let's go.
Well, I love that about you. And it's been so much fun chatting with you today and hearing about how running has enriched your life. And it's wonderful to hear how you've passed your love of running on to your daughters. Can't wait to see them on the roads. And, you know, any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
I guess I would just say that I think any, whether it's a triathlon, whether it's a mountain run, whether it's running your first 5K or running your first mile, everybody's capable of doing it. So I think sometimes that mindset or the things that we tell ourselves that we can't do, we really can if we just go out there and give it a try.
I like that philosophy. I like that a lot. Well, thank you so much for joining me. You've been listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Happy running.